Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, boys.
Trying to hear the song.
Okay.
I am not saying this to stir up people.
We don't know that.
I am saying this out of utter 100% honesty and belief. I support Ilhan. I don't want some jackass getting up with a guitar in the middle of a damn airplane and start singing. Chris, are you and I on the same side?
Kenny said he'd get up and get the guy's guitar and just break it. Like Belushi and Animal House.
So we're on the same side.
It was almost like Kenny came back to do sports talk.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Because yeah. I, of course, hadn't had an opportunity to listen
but
yet.
There was an extenuating circumstance.
No, there isn't. Christmas, I guess, or Easter, or whatever the hell it was.
No, they were all like-minded from the same church going to help the Ukrainians.
Well, that's fine with them. When you're out. You know, when you're on your bus going to the hotel, going to the airport, sing your hearts out.
Yeah.
When you're going someplace else, sing your hearts out. Not when I'm on an airplane. Shut up. Talk to the person in the seat next to you, and leave us alone. It's an airplane.
That's
it's
right.
Miserable anyway.
That's
I don't
right.
need somebody singing.
Stop calling an ass.
And by the way,
they.
What's he doing with a guitar? Check your guitar. We don't want your guitar taking up all
that's
that
space. That's a good point. How did he get it on the thing?
All that space in the overhead.
I think it was a church group. Although you
they didn't have the whole plane.
That's what we don't know that, apparently.
Well, our gal wasn't part of it.
Ilhan?
Yeah, she wasn't in on the group.
Well, no, I know that.
They didn't have the whole plane.
Well, that's what I read.
Well...
It could have been a charter with this particular church ministry.
Well, if it was a charter, then fine. But I wasn't. She was on the plane, wasn't she?
No, God, no.
She just issued a tweet.
No. She saw a video of this and then said, "What would happen if we started singing?"
As in,
if it was a charter, then go ahead and sing.
But you. Reavers,
but if it's just if you got 100 of 180 seats,
no, I get you. I know. I'm in your side.
Yes,
I'm on your side.
Okay.
What gives credence to the fact that it might not have been a charter is that Reavers saw the video of the guys playing on the plane, and there's a glum-looking guy looking at the guitar
he
player.
He looked like he wanted to do what Royce and Kenny have described.
Yes. Where did we see? Where? What's the great movie where the guy shatters?
Animal House.
Animal House,
Belushi
yes.
takes her from the guy, smashes it, and then says, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. That's, I was trying to remember where you did that. Yeah. Yes, that's what I meant. You know, it's not a big festival. Of occasion, flying.
No, I get it, Pat.
Burden.
Settle down,
Joe,
big guy.
Joe, let's just get on a plane with Pat, right? We're all on our way to Fort Myers for spring training.
Yep.
How long does Pat last until he unbuckles the seatbelt and stands up and heads towards the guy with the guitar on the plane
right away?
Would you give him about 10 seconds to see what was up, what he was up to?
You know, I'm pretty. I don't raise hell on an airplane. Never really have. I raise hell at the gate once in a while when at the front desk when they, for no damn reason, tell me I'm going to be 2 hours late.
Yeah.
But I'm not very patient. But once they have you in that trapped environment,
okay,
there's not much I could do. But I would have yelled out, "Shut the bleep up!" after about 30 seconds.
Right. Can we talk about Byron Buxton? Because we have to.
Yes, we must.
He's made out of papier-mâché. Balsa wood. All the things that I've read.
Here's my theory. He didn't drink milk as a kid, man.
Maybe.
There's something he got, you know, they let him drink Gatorade. No, not Gatorade. What's
Kool-Aid.
The,
Red
Mountain
Bull.
Mountain Dew. He's a Mountain Dew kid. That's what he is. He's a Mountain Dew kid.
Pat, this is uncanny.
And the other thing is, every time this happens, well, it's not too serious, and he should be back in 3 to 5 days.
Well, that's
never has been back in three to five days.
That's the game you hate. What's the question you pose to an athlete if you have an injury?
Can you play?
Can you play today?
Can you play? What do you think you are? 85%? Good enough. Get out there.
Yep.
Come on.
Are you hurt or are you injured?
Let's read his quotes.
Yes.
Byron Buxton had felt soreness in his right knee for a couple of days before his awkward slide on Friday caused the center fielder to leave the game in the first inning. I just kind of aggravated it a little bit more, said Buxton, who remains on the active roster but has not played. I'm not too concerned. Once I came in and got checked out and got a look at the MRI, it kind of settled me down a little bit. Buxton said he felt a tingling sensation after the slide, which caused him to react out of frustration. He slammed his hand on the infield. Normally, I probably wouldn't have said anything just because I wanted to stay in and play, he said. But it's early in the season, and it's better to miss a couple of games now than to miss 2 or 3 months later. It's all about being smart. So what's his condition now? Feel fine, he said. We'll find out more when I start doing some stuff.
Yeah, I read those
quotes.
Why
aren't the two games now just as important as 2 games 2 months from now?
Well, plus, you know, it's more important to take, you know, to get properly healed or whatever it is now than 2 months from now. Well, the same thing's going to happen 2 months from now.
You know who's going to...
If he slides into a base, he's, you know, at least go Gomez when he slid into a base... would act like he was going to die, but then he'd get up and he'd play the next inning.
Right.
This was
you
brutal.
Know who needs to coach Buxton? Rocco can't handle him.
No. Mock.
Dean Evanson.
Yeah.
The Wild coach. How long do you think?
Anyway, he's not a hard noser, though, I don't think.
Dean?
No.
Oh, yes, he does not suffer fools gladly.
Well, that's probably true, yes. Well,
Or Mock. Mock would be good. Mock would say, are you kidding me?
Here's the difference. The Twins of this era, the Rocco era, and a little bit in Gardy's later years, look for reasons not to be on the field. Mm-hmm. Hockey players look for reasons
to stay on the ice.
Yep. To stay on the ice. And this whole idea of just every time he got hurt last year, which was three, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think only one real injury. He didn't play for at least 2 more weeks than was expected at the time. So anyone who thinks this is, you know, he's going to play in Kansas City, well, it'll be cold and we maybe shouldn't.
This is why the game's losing me,
I think he's going to play in Kansas City.
This is why it's losing me. They're not playing today's game.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
They're not playing it today. They're worried about... 2 weeks from now.
Well, I texted Pat yesterday. That theory was true yesterday, Joe. I don't know how much of the game you watched.
Not much at all.
It's a one-run game, and God love him. Randolph, Minnesota's own Caleb Thielbar gives up a couple of hits, and I know that the rule, Pat explained this to me, so I get why he had to face Bogarts, who then hit a missile off the wall or whatever
he did.
Why is
he bringing him in to pitch to all those righties in
the first place, but then he leaves them in, and then the game gets out of hand. But it was a one-run game at the time, and I'm thinking... What are you doing here? Are you not trying to win the game? I don't get it.
Yeah, it's Joe, to get back to Buxton, it's just incredible. It's I was not watching that game. You know what I was doing Friday, Joe?
Repenting.
No, but I was thinking about it.
Okay.
About noon.
Yep. You were here. Over here.
After I left here, I went downtown.
Yeah.
Two bad knees, arthritic knees. Mm-hmm. I can barely get out of bed in the morning.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, even when I'm sleeping, I get pain in my knees.
Right.
You know. But it's not a tingling. It's pain.
Yeah.
And I go downtown.
Would you trade pain for tingle?
I'll take a tingle.
Yeah, I take a tingle over pain.
I don't even get a tingle. But but I get downtown at 1.
Yeah.
Doubleheader.
Yep.
Write a Saturday column. Write a Sunday column at 7:15 before I'm done.
Wow.
I played a 6-hour and 15-minute doubleheader.
On two bad knees.
On two bad knees. I got a left shoulder that's killing me lately. I
got a busted hand.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
When I went down, you know what I felt? What? A tingle.
Tingle, that's right. But you kept, even with a broken hand, you kept playing.
Yeah.
This is, I think it's... I don't know what it is with his. He was a football player. That's amazing.
I was just going to bring
that
up.
He was a Division I football recruit. He wouldn't have lasted 4 minutes.
He was going to Georgia.
He wouldn't have lasted four minutes.
Oh, he would have been killed.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't get it. I do not get it. I do not get why you don't jump up and you're out and go to the dugout and keep your mouth shut.
Yes.
Well, that's no. Play. He wasn't out. That's why.
Oh, he was.
Because we had the game on in here, and I said, "Why is he leaving the field?" Because you know the yell or the yellow square was on. I thought, well, he didn't get thrown out, and I went, "Oh crap, he got hurt."
One thing that hurt him too is that when he was growing up a kid, they let him slide on his belly.
Oh.
So he doesn't know how to slide on his ass.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so it's
because he would keep hurting his hand when he would slide head first.
Yeah, God, it's I think it's official. If you get 100 games out of him, it's a miracle. I think it's a miracle.
Well, your current prediction, unfortunately, is going to prove to be accurate. It's going to be 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Now, if he plays, I said as yesterday, I said, first, you read 3 to 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're ready, you'll be out a week because on the crawl. I said, just put him on a 60-day. You won't see him for 2 months because we're going to wait till he's 100%. He'll never be 100% if he leaves because of a tingle.
Do we know if he did anything today, jog around the outfield a little bit?
I don't know. I haven't.
Because here's his final
it's
quote.
It's a morning game.
Right, I know.
Didn't have time.
So what's his condition now? Feel fine, he said. We'll find out more when I start doing stuff.
What do you have to feel more than fine?
Let's go!
Yes, right. Fine is way better than the Ricey standard, which is okay.
And you know what the shame
good
of it
enough.
Is?
Enough.
He was the player of the month last April, then got hurt. He was off to a hellacious start this year, then got hurt.
Three straight homers. And this time he didn't even get hurt.
He got a tingle.
Last year he did something. Something. I don't know what it was.
I can't remember. It's hard to keep him all
three
straight.
Times.
One was the neck, wasn't
but
it?
But Joe.
I don't know.
I went to St. Paul when he did his rehab, right? I went for his game. Yep. He hit a triple.
Yep.
He hit a triple. He went boom.
Yep.
You know, you could hear the sound. It sounded like a guy at the Indy 500, right? Zoom. And he had another hit.
Yep.
And then he can't play again because he didn't feel just right. He just didn't. Then he missed, 2 weeks after he went to St. Paul.
Then how much of this...
I don't know who to blame it on, really.
Well, how much of it is him being a baby?
Well, I'm not going to tell him that to his face. But
no, neither would I. He's a strong kid.
Yeah, but I think he's been allowed to develop this ethic where if he doesn't feel great. Now, before he signed his contract, remember last year?
I would not have signed him.
Remember his last year, his quote was, I'm not going to play unless I feel 100%. There was one time,
I do remember that.
Sometime in September or something like that. I mean, they were lost cause anyway. But I don't know.
I think we came to the conclusion last year that he's not a baby. We came to the conclusion, I thought, last year that these are real. So then the other conclusion, these injuries are real. So the other conclusion you have to reach is he's just too susceptible to breakdowns.
Yes, but...
But the breakdowns are real.
But the breakdown...
This doesn't look like a
breakdown,
bad one.
This looks like some, you know... Do you think Tony Oliva...
Who didn't have
after
knees.
After 1971, ever felt... as good as Byron Buxton did after he felt the tingle.
Nope, you're right.
In his entire, he played 4 more years.
Damn near bone on bone.
On one leg.
Yep.
He never felt as good. And for hell, the last 6 years of his career, as Byron Buxton did after the slide into second base.
I have not met him personally, but everything I've read and see about Rocco tells me that he's the perfect manager for Buxton.
Yes.
He's sympathetic, he's
get him off their
foot. Rocco was an injury-plagued player.
Because he had, didn't he basically have dropsy of the foot? He had what we used to call dropsy with the foot that cost him the career, and he kept trying to play.
He was a top prospect with the Rays.
Oh, he was he was in the big leagues like 2 years after, second year after he was drafted, and was a really good player, but, he very subject to injuries. And I think
maybe that makes him extra sympathetic.
I think he thought playing 150 some games each of his first 2-3 years made a difference.
But on a larger scale too, you're seeing guys with year-round training, with nutrition people that live inside their homes, and with the NBA too, the number of opt-out chances that these guys take is unbelievable. Well, it's what's the rest term that we use in the NBA all the time, Pat. But you see guys get hurt more now than they ever have, it seems like.
They're too tight.
Too tight.
Well, but here's the other thing. Diagnosis is somebody.
We've been through this. They have names for everything.
Diagnosis,
now.
Yes. The thoracic outlet syndrome.
I knew
syndrome.
He was going to say that.
You know how many? I mean, that's a real thing because they lose their fastball. But you know how many hundreds of guys had that when they said, "I lost it." You know, he just lost it. But they can analyze everything, and they're afraid to put him out on the field without it. But
I hope we're wrong. I mean, maybe he'll play tomorrow.
To me, I usually blame Rocco, but to me, this is a Buxton decision not to play. I think.
Are they saying that then by not putting him on the IL? Is that their message?
Because they're naive enough to think that he'll come back in 5, 6, 7 days. But Roy, I love Roy Smalley, and he's been my favorite analyst. But yesterday, as they were once again doing nothing at the plate.
They won today, by the way.
Yes, they did, 8-4. Yeah. Hit a couple of home runs early and held on. Roy and Dick agreed that they just played too many day games.
Oh, for peace.
They didn't have time to prepare. Did you hear this? That they've been playing nothing but day games.
6 days
now,
in a season.
Now, of course, if they'd been a lot of night games, it'd be,
that's too cold.
Too playing too early night games, too cold.
Oh, come on.
I saw that, and Roy's the one that brought it up.
Is it getting into a rhythm thing, or...?
Still, I'll take Roy in a heartbeat over our buddy Morney. It's you know what Roy gave us yesterday? There were at least 5-6 pitches where he didn't say anything. That he let
Morney know my problem with Morney is he doesn't shut up.
No, because he has to analyze every pitch.
Yeah.
You don't have to analyze every pitch. If the count's 1-0 and a guy throws a strike, you don't have to analyze it. You can just let a little 8 seconds of silence.
And ladies and gentlemen, these two guys are your go-to when they expertly analyze the booth.
Here's the pitch. Booth glaring in. Wide. I'm sorry, inside.
Hold on.
Wide. Inside, ball.
I think he called it a strike.
He did?
Didn't he? What's he raising his hand for? It looked like a strike to me. It's
1-1.
This was entertaining.
I can't believe we weren't.
This is
back.
Not as easy as you think it is when you listen to Gordo all summer.
Well, he's a vet.
We need Gladdy on TV. That's what we need.
God, there's nothing.
Because Gladdy went nuts, I guess, yesterday when Snow let that ball go through his glove.
Oh, yeah.
Which they originally called a hit, right?
The best was I heard that, and then I also heard who started yesterday for the Red Sox. He had a no-hitter. Oh, Waka had a no-hitter through four, and Gladden says, "Man, if he keeps this up, he's going to get yanked in the seventh inning." Like Kershaw the other day. It was fantastic.
I have got a new theory on Kershaw, by the way, after watching the Twins. He wasn't really that good.
They just stinks.
They just stinks. He did not throw a pitch over 90 miles an hour.
Well, it's funny you say that because Joe and I were watching it, and I kept thinking, He's not even really throwing it that hard.
No, he had a good slider, but...
Is it a slider or a curveball that he throws?
It's a slider.
Is it? Okay.
But it's a loopy one.
Yeah, it's a 12-6 slider. It's a weird loopy
slider. Are the Wild fated to play St. Louis in the playoff opening round?
It's a cinch now. It's because Colorado's got 114 points. And
you're not going to reach you.
And Nashville... St. Louis did to Nashville yesterday?
Yep.
8-3.
Yep.
Seven goals in the second period, I think.
Wow.
So that'll be a hell of a series. It'll be fun.
That'll be difficult for the Wild to win that series.
Well, they got to start scoring some power play goals, mm-hmm. right? And they got to stop giving up four a game.
Right.
You know. Now, they came back tremendously on Saturday in St. Louis and from 4-1. But they've been giving up a lot of goals, man.
You know who they missed?
Judd, I was talking to Judd today. We're a little loosey goosey.
They miss Dumba, I think, a lot.
How hurt is he?
Well, it was significant, I think, because he's been out a while.
Yeah. Lower body?
I think it might have been lower body.
Upper body.
Upper body?
Oh. I can't remember.
Maybe he had a tingle.
He had a tingle.
He had a tingle.
Yeah, that's what the Twins are gonna. That's what the Twins are gonna have to start doing with Buck.
You know, this spread out NBA thing keeps the momentum difficult.
They've done the first round of this like this for years.
This is ridiculous.
Drives you crazy. Well, good luck reading here. When you get your print editions of the St. Paul and Minneapolis papers Sunday morning, I think there's a fighting chance you might not get a final score from Saturday night's 9:15 tip off.
Did you see Barkley?
Who was a 9:15 tip?
The Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves
at
do.
Home.
At home.
On TV, I suppose.
We get stuck in the Western. We become a Western team.
You're not going to get a score in your paper.
No, God, not with the new deadlines. That's for sure.
Barkley, did you hear Barkley's comments?
What now?
On the Wolfies, he said.
Which one now?
This was the one where he said. Oh.
The celebration stuff, or just off?
No, just commenting on the team
off
in general.
Saturday's game.
It made me. He just said, man, they're talented, but they're one of the dumbest teams I've ever seen.
But he's wrong. Cat should not be playing down in the post all the time. Cat, what makes him better than the other guys is he can do stuff away from the basket and create space. When he's down there muscling, that's when he gets his foul trouble.
He does have to stop complaining every single time.
He's worse at home than he is on the road.
He was pretty bad on Saturday, though, I thought.
He didn't have any calls. He didn't have a penalty foul until the third period.
All I know is
Memphis had a guy who kept falling down. The guy fell down 15
Morant,
times.
Morant. Guy with the bad hair.
Yeah, he had spears in his
that's
hair.
That's his deal. He comes. He's a great player, but he plays the whole game driving to the basket.
He falls down every
and
time.
It's a good way to draw fouls.
Somebody has to help him up, and he's got those pointy things in his hair. He's sticky, and you can get hurt.
He's not a great shooter, though. He's great in 15-foot range, but he's not a 3-point shooter. But that game Tuesday was one of the great bad games I've ever seen. It was terrible, but it was fun.
Because, it was entertaining, that's for sure.
And let's face it, it gave them a chance, because if they're playing Phoenix, you know they're 4-0.
I forget who said this, though. It might have been Jim Pete, but basically saying that Towns having a bad night that night was a good thing, and them still winning was a good thing for the organization, because it gave a lot of... gave a lot of other guys confidence or something like that. But I thought that was an interesting point.
Yeah, I love Jim Pete, but he'd say too many day games or too many days. He's got the BSN lingo down. He's got the excuse-making down, that's for damn sure. I saw some member of the traveling party got robbed in Memphis Saturday night, but it wasn't a player or a coach.
Yeah.
Don't know if it was the Benzer or a gym or a trainer or something.
Or was it the radio crew?
Good. Well, the radio crew is Horton. That's all.
That's true. Yeah. He logs his own equipment to and from.
Does he have an analyst?
No, he does the whole game by himself.
No analyst with him.
No. That's fairly common in the NBA because the game's going so fast. Yeah. On the radio, you don't have time to analyze every play. So... But yeah, that was interesting. I did appreciate Charles talking about the celebration, though. Mm-hmm. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. He said, they're kissing babies.
Yeah. I said, Well, the best part was, for me anyway,
hey,
he said,
see you later, guys. He said,
because him and Shaq couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
And then he started saying, what is this, one shining moment, you know, for college basketball? Oh, it was fantastic.
I want him to be president.
Oh. Yeah. But he also is, he's wrong as often as he's right.
Oh, yeah.
Because he doesn't watch the league. He admits, there's only about four teams I watch.
Well, he got into hot water with LeBron a few weeks ago because, of course, the national media, they're, what's wrong with the Lakers? And that led one of the Thursday night TNT crew shows. And he said, what are we talking about these bums for?
Charles said
he
that.
He said that about the Lakers.
Right? Okay, yeah. Hey, Shaq is, I can't understand him, so I don't know what he's saying half
right.
the time. He's over there mumbling, and God, is he big now, though.
Yeah.
He's four bills if he's an ounce, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Spieth is back.
Yeah, but I didn't see the finish. I was watching it, and I didn't, he was two down with, and he was later in the round than did
he,
a couple
he
of
won
guys.
It, he won it in the clubhouse.
Really?
He finished 13 under. And
I thought he won a playoff.
He won a playoff, but he got to the playoff because people ended up 13 under.
Okay.
Cantley ended up 13
under. So he made a bogey. Cantley made a bogey. Yeah.
Where were we playing, Joe? Where were we playing yesterday?
We were at Hilton Head.
Mm.
Yes. Well, they've been there for 100 years, and they play a lot. They don't get much of a field anymore because they used to, all the Europeans would come over, play the Masters, and then they go to Hilton Head.
Right.
But there aren't any Europeans. They're all over here now.
Yeah.
The good European players now play over here. Everybody over there is an unknown, so it's not a big deal. That used to be how they got a good. I played Hilton Head. I was at a Hilton Head once and played a couple of times, but not on that golf course.
What course is it?
Harbortown, I
Harbortown.
Think.
Harbortown.
Harbortown, yeah.
I like a golf
right
course where you
water.
Can see boats.
You can, one thing about that, you know what is aesthetically unpleasing? Mm. When the tide's out.
Yeah, it looks a little
when
dirty.
When the tide's in, it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
But when it's out, all you see is mud,
dirt,
and seagulls.
Yeah.
Mud, sloppy mud. You couldn't walk in it. Yeah, and the tide was out most of the time they were playing.
Washed up, what do you call it, jellyfish and whatnot on the beach?
I'm not quite sure I ever understood it, Joe.
What?
The tide.
It has to do with the moon.
It's a moon.
It's a moon thing.
How can that little moon?
Yeah, it pulls.
How can it have that much effect
on us? It's got gravitational pull.
Where would we be without that moon?
We'd be in trouble.
We'd have a, you'd always.
Well, then your gal's prediction would have come true.
Did you happen to read your paper's editorial page today?
No, what did we do?
We have a park board commissioner who managed, however, inexplicably, to compare Hiawatha Golf Course to Miami Beach.
Based on what?
Based on that she's goofy.
She's one of the ones that wants to reduce it to nine holes.
Or get rid of it altogether.
So
but I was saying, I had to ask you this. And the irony of her piece is that she said, we have to protect black and brown children. And
how about black and brown adults who want to play golf?
Well, I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
That historically has been a black golf course.
Yes, I've written two or three columns on the black. There's a couple of black men's clubs out
yes.
there that are fighting
mightily.
Tremendously. But why are we, what are black and brown children?
Because she has to save the planet for them, and in order to save the planet.
How about saving it for the white kids? Is that okay, too?
No, okay. You have to save it for the black kids. But the irony is and she said black kids don't play golf, but if they do, their chances are they're playing in Hiawatha.
Yes. They're, but.
Apparently it was built on a swamp, or it became
yes.
too swampy, and it's requiring, constant pumping? And
they say they have to pump too much water. And there's a plan that would lower the water and then do a couple other things. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. They have no chance to save the nine-hole golf course with the current court. If they still had Walt Dietzick, they might be able to save it, but the current park board, they could not. So.
Say, I want to remind people that you can escape all the madness of the world right now up at Giants Ridge, home of the legend and the quarry, two of the best golf courses in the state, if not the country. It's also becoming a mountain bike destination, but a great summer deal all year long. Play the Legend, and not all year long, between June 4 and
That'd
August 29.
That'd be tough to golf up there on Christmas.
It'd be tough today, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Go skiing, though. What the
play the Legend and the Quarry on the same day, lunch on them. They'll put together golf groups. Great golf rates for your own group. Get your buddies or your family members and have a tournament. Beautiful nature, beautiful land, beautiful lakes. Take the flyover. Go check out the drone flyovers at GiantsRidge.com. It truly, and I was saying, Pat, with inflation going through the roof and gas prices going through the roof, I think a lot of people are going to redefine their vacation plans.
Yes.
And stay within the borders of the state. And this has it all for you. Mm-hmm. This has the mountain biking, the golfing, the nature hikes, the trails, beautiful lakes and forests. So check it all out at GiantsRidge.com.
And if you're lucky, Johnny Manasich will be in there having lunch and you can get his autograph.
Really?
Yeah. I think he still plays it once in a while.
I have your information, gentlemen. The moon is a major influence on the Earth tides, but the sun also generates considerable tidal forces.
You know, the sun is bigger than the moon.
It really is.
Solar tides are about half as large as lunar tides and are expressed as a variation of lunar tidal patterns, not as a separate set of tides. When the sun, moon, and Earth are in alignment at the time of the new or full moon, the solar tide has an additive effect on the lunar tide.
Okay.
Creating extra high tides.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I'm glad the sun's helping it out, damn it, because I just couldn't.
Let's see. It's
that.
Pulling it this way, and then.
Well, I like it better when it's in, not when it's out.
Right.
Because it looks sloppy.
Although, because when we were out in South Carolina in the morning, you know, the water's way up, but in about lunchtime, it's way out, and you see all the jellyfish up on shore. And they are pretty nasty when they get up on the sand and stuck there.
9:15 tip off for the Timberwolves. Yeah, that's gonna bad. That crowd has a chance to be a little rowdy.
Oh yeah, could be a little drink, especially if they would somehow win Tuesday. They'd really be fired.
Think
up.
About that.
They don't play again until Saturday, then, right?
So yeah, it's Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Oh, they do play Thursday. Oh. So they do. Play
yeah, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
That's okay.
Is
so
the
Thursday
schedule.
And Saturday are here.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And then Game 5, if necessary, unless our boys sweep them. Would be back in Memphis, I believe.
Yeah, well, that's the way they do it. They 2-2 and then 1-1-1.
That's right.
And the Wild still have what, 7 or 8 games left?
Oh yeah, we got the game in hand. We're one point behind them, right?
Yes.
1 point behind them, but we got an easy schedule this week, Joe.
You're at
Montreal. Yep. Vancouver's here. They're out of it now. Right? They got an easy schedule this week. You gotta win. You know, so.
But there's no way St. Louis and the Wild will separate themselves.
They're going to play each other. Yeah. And, you know, for some reason, home ice advantage has gone out the window in the NHL.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, it has.
It's just, the crowd gets all screaming and fired up for 5 minutes. And
I think it's because you get to wear your home uniform on the road.
Somebody's going.
I've never understood that.
Which color are you?
Wear your damn home uniforms at home.
What do you think of the Red Sox alternate uniform?
Was that for Ukraine?
I thought the same thing, but then looked it up.
No, they've had it last year. It's their
City Connect.
City Connect uniform. They had it they've had it for 2-3 years.
What was the number on the uniform?
That's their area code.
716?
617.
So whatever.
But what it is.
What the hell was the point of that? I thought it was Ukraine.
The point of that is to sell uniforms.
Oh. Well, it coincides with the marathon because when each runner gets a jacket, my wife has one, it's that color. It's the yellow with the blue jacket.
Yeah, but they don't do it just on Patriots Day. That thing is, I've seen it during the season. I've seen that color.
You have? Yes. I guess I hadn't seen it before.
Yes. What'd they wear today?
They wore their normal uniforms today.
They wore
today.
Their regular uniform.
But on Patriot Day.
Now that they won 2 in the yellow gaudy, I said, come on, Twins. Save America.
Yeah.
Save our borders from these uniforms. Win today.
Jeez. I mean, I'm thinking, man, they got a large Ukrainian population in Boston, and I thought the whole thing was
Ukraine. I thought the same thing. at first, but then I looked it up, and Pat was right, because they called it the City Connect.
Why are they, what do you mean their colors for the marathon?
So that's
blue and yellow.
The jacket that Jess has, it's that blue, and then all the lettering is in that yellow. I don't know why. I don't know if that has some...
Which Ethiopian won today? Did we look it up yet?
I did. Oh, you know what? That's a good question. I should look that up.
We had her today. I'm betting it wasn't a Yank.
Didn't we have a local gal running who ran? Yes, was the first woman to run?
Phil Rogaszewski's wife.
Who?
Phil Rogaszewski. Isn't he a prominent lawyer, Phil Rogaszewski?
His name isn't Phil.
Isn't it Phil?
What's Rogo's first name? I just saw him the other night.
Not Paul. Paul?
Paul.
Is he in his 70s?
I don't think so.
No, I think this is Phil.
Could this be a different Rogaszewski?
Probably the same breed, but yeah. I thought the husband was Phil. But yeah, that's amazing. They didn't let women run until 72, and there were eight of them. Mm-hmm. They were eight. Now they let her in this year without qualifying.
Did she actually complete it, do you think?
She said she was gonna run for 30 seconds and then walk for 30 seconds, yeah, and probably take 6 hours.
Oh.
But They were going to let her do that, but she ran with her daughter and her niece, I think.
Perez Jepsisshire of Kenya wins the women's elite.
Don't sound like from Omaha, does it?
How about the men's?
I'm looking up the men's now. Evans Shebe of Kenya.
Kenya double sweep, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know what? If you grew up in Kenya, you don't leave because you're... feel a tingle. You think these guys feel a tingle?
No. Running, hell, they run
you're
barefoot.
You're running barefoot over mountains.
Right.
50 miles. Oh, I feel a tingle.
I got a tingle.
I can't run my 30 miles today.
American Daniel Romanchuk won the men's wheelchair title.
Well, we can dominate.
What was the first American man to finish?
All right. Let me keep scrolling while I look for that, sir. And you guys can keep talking.
Kenya, Ethiopia. Kenya, Ethiopia, Sudan. Kenya.
Nairobi.
Yeah. Well, Nairobi's a part of Kenya.
Wow, they had over 28,000 runners this year. Holy cow.
And thank God nothing happened at the finish line.
Was it? I was wondering, is that part of... But Pat answered, I guess, because they've been doing this for a while now. I didn't know if that was it an anniversary of that? Is that why they did the uniform? But if they've been doing it in the past.
I think this thing started in... I think did they cancel it last year?
I think it was 2 years ago.
Okay, because I think it was...
I thought they ran it last
100th
year.
100th anniversary or some damn thing. I don't know.
Let's go to the bank.
I never... you covered it once, did you?
Yep.
I covered it once, too. Way too much barfing for me. Yeah. You know, they all go in that big garage, yep, to cool down, and there's a lot of barfing going on in there.
You know what I'll always remember about that?
I don't want to do anything except drink that causes me to barf.
Did you ride the flatbed truck?
No.
I'll always remember this.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
They put us on a flatbed truck. Mm-hmm. We're about 15 feet in front of the lead runners who are sucking our exhaust for 2.5 hours.
Just think how fast they could be if they weren't.
I bet they
die.
Don't do that anymore.
Probably not.
They did that for the Olympics, the Olympic marathon. That's the famous Eddie Pope story where they called up Eddie Pope and the last day of the Olympics in Seoul, and they said, Eddie, we got a spot for you on the truck.
Yeah.
Because there's rumors there might be terrorism at the men's marathon. And Eddie says, well, that's a fine idea, but I was going to do my retrospective.
Eddie didn't want to go fight terrorists.
Eddie said, you put somebody else on that truck. Right. I got to do my retrospective.
Is he still with us?
No, Eddie died. Yeah. Eddie was what a character.
He was a character. He wrote for Miami, didn't he?
One of the funniest stories I ever heard is... We were out in, where the hell did Knight Ritter had a last night drinking party. I wasn't drinking then, but Eddie and, Eddie liked his booze, but they were in there. And Eddie was telling us about being at the Winter Olympics in 84. Where were they? Was that what?
84?
Calgary.
No.
Wasn't it?
88 was Calgary. 84.
Whatever.
Somewhere in Europe.
Yeah.
And he got in there, and they had one of those showers that you had to...
Yeah.
On, you know, to raise it up, and he's talking about rolling around on the floor showering because he could only get the water about a foot and a half high. And he's in there with his legs up in the air trying to wash his privates. Yeah. And oh, God.
Miami Herald, right?
Yeah, sports editor, and he was all those Southern guys were also the sports editor. They were all Sids, but Eddie was a God. He was a funny guy.
Was he in the car with you? With they'd be screwed without that water.
No,
because wasn't that in Miami?
Yes, that was Miami.
Okay,
well, those hotels really be screwed without that ocean there.
Eddie was always in Augusta too, man. He'd be he wouldn't wait around for that last interview of the day. He'd be out of there about 1 in the afternoon. You know?
Retrospective.
All right. That's it.
Let's go to the bank.
That's it.
No guitar playing on the airplane. Right. That's my theory.
All right.
Patrick Racy here with the Canopy Group Facts. The Canopy Group writes more new business in 1 month than a captive agent writes in 3 years. How's that possible? We'll share some other facts to make you understand. Fact two, the Canopy Group offers 16 different insurance companies, not just one. Fact three, the Canopy Group offers annual policies, not six-month policies, that leave you at risk for two premium increases per year. Fact four, the Canopy Group offers one deductible at claim time, not two, three, four, even more. Fact five, the Canopy Group will shop your home and auto insurance with their 16 companies every year. Captive insurance agencies can't do that because they only have one company. Now that you have the facts, it's time to get options. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com.
It's Reavers here for Josh Arnold. Mr. Money Talk is what he's called around these parts. Josh has been an investment consultant since 1978. This extensive career has given him the experience needed to manage your money in both up and down markets. Josh provides independent, personalized investment planning to individuals and small businesses, including retirement plans. Josh has been doing this for quite some time, and the thing that separates him from the rest is he will always give you straight talk and never sugar-coated advice. When you invest for yourself or for your small business with Josh, you get the same straight talk that you would expect from Mr. Money Talk. You also get an investment consultant who will work proactively with you to create a strategy that fits your goals. You can also hear him at the end of Garage Logic every Tuesday and Thursday with a full report. Give him a call today for that free 48-minute financial consultation at 952-925-5608. That number once again is 952-925-5608. Or for more information, just visit his website, josharnoldinvestmentconsultant.com.